Hare Krishna. So today we're celebrating the disappearance day of Srila Bhaktivinod Thakur. It's been said that he was the father of the Hare Krishna movement. He's the originator of the concept of the Krishna consciousness movement. And he exhibited that by his life. I did compile some things here together about Bhaktivinod Thakur. It's interesting because, you know, when you have a personality of his caliber, it's interesting to know how he came about to Krishna consciousness. And, of course, Srila Bhaktivinod Thakur is a Nitya Siddha. But still, he had a life in this world. And just like when we approach someone and we tell them about Krishna, one of the first things they ask us is, well, how did you come to Krishna consciousness? It's very interesting. You know, people want to know, how did you come? What inspired you to come to Krishna consciousness? And when you tell them, they marvel at the idea of how you came. So, same thing, we're reading about Srila Bhaktivinod Thakur and his life and his precepts. And so, it's actually very amazing how such a great personality came about to the philosophy of Krishna consciousness. So we're going to read in that context, reading about him and who he was and how he lived, what he lived for, and how he came upon Krishna consciousness itself. So ultimately we see that he was a guru in all respects. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has told us that the bona fide spiritual master is Yare Deka Tare Kaha Krishna Upadesh. That this personality, he teaches the science of Krishna consciousness according to the principles brought down from the acharyas, the parampara. And Bhaktivinod Thakur exhibited that. He was the one that inaugurated or excavated the place, the birth of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and from there he taught the principles that were taught by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as given to us. So just from reading about his life and precepts and Srila Prabhupada's preaching, we see that the duty of a Vaishnava, a real devotee, Vaishnava of the Lord, their duty is to teach or to educate the people in general, the science of Krishna consciousness. And one who executes this mission is very dear to Krishna, to Lord Chaitanya, para upakara. One who is really concerned about the welfare of all the living entities. And Srila Bhaktivinod Thakur exhibited that. He had real serious, genuine concern about the suffering condition of all the people in this material world. And for most of us, that's a very difficult subject matter. You know, we're so intent on taking care of our own personal difficulties, our body, our mind, and we're so overwhelmed by that practically constitutes our whole life, literally. But Srila Bhaktivinod Thakur, he exhibited the opposite. Para upakara. His idea of welfare was to be concerned about other devotees and other people suffering. And not only people, but also devotees. He was concerned both, not just outside of Krishna consciousness. So sometimes we have to remember that we should be also concerned with the sufferings of our devotees, those that we live with, that we engage in Krishna consciousness with together. Sometimes we take this kind of idea of para upakara, that don't worry about the devotees, just worry about those that are non-devotees. But no, it's extended to the non-devotees. But we also take care of the devotee, those that are on the path of Krishna consciousness. So this is para upakara. And Bhaktivinod Thakur he exhibited this in the highest context of life. Very profoundly taught how we should work very diligently and focused for the purpose of giving people an opportunity to come in this contact of Krishna consciousness. Very, very amazing life. So we're going to kind of read about that. I found one quote by, a couple of quotes by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, and I wrote them down here. And he said, one quote is that he says that this temporary life is full of miseries. Take shelter of the holy names as you as your only business. When I read that, I thought, wow, that's pretty profound. So, you know, we're always thinking about so many things. We forget how temporary this life is. We really do. We forget. It's so easy to forget. That's the nature of Maya. She's very powerful. Her purpose is to make sure that we're sincere in our endeavor to approach Krishna and want to serve Krishna. She's very powerful. But in that way, we forget about the temporary nature of this material existence. As you get older, you realize that how temporary it is and how things go so quickly. When you're youthful, you think you'll never end. That is the illusory energy of Maya. She's tricking all of us, and we think, oh, I have time. You know, one of the principles of all living entities is procrastination. We always procrastinate. We think, well, I'll do it tomorrow. I'll start tomorrow, or maybe next week, or when I'm 40. I'll start when I'm 40. I'll get serious. And by that time, it's too late. That's called procrastination. And that's what we like to do. And that's the trick of Maya. Maya is always tricking us, thinking that, oh, you have so much time. Don't worry about it right now. Do something for yourself. Yourself, you count. Let me do something for myself. And let me not worry. And this is the illusory energy. And when you get a little bit older, and then you lament, you think, oh my God, why didn't I do that when I was like 35 or 40 or 50? Sometimes you find, why didn't I do that when I was 50 years old? Why didn't I do that when I was 60? This is the nature. So this is why it's so important to have the association of a pure devotee of the Lord. Because the association of pure devotee of the Lord, they never waste time in terms of thinking of the self. They think of the condition of living entities, all living entities. And because they're so self-absorbed in that activity of trying to be concerned about the welfare of living entities, they never feel any lack of want. They don't consider time factor, because time factor means nothing to that pure devotee of the Lord, because he lives to die. This is the pure devotee of the Lord. He lives to die, because that's continuing. From death on, he continues for eternality, immorality, immortality. This is the pure devotee of the Lord. But you can see, those of us that are on the bodily concept of life, we're in the fear, with so much fear of death and disease and old age, because we're so much attached to this body. And then when we're tricked by this illusory energy of Maya, the next thing you know, then we're lamenting, oh my God, why didn't I do this and do that? So when we read about these kind of great souls like Bhaktivinoda Thakur, it should inspire us to become more centered on thinking of the welfare of other living entities, as he exhibited from his characteristic, by his nature, and how he lived. Of course, he was an extraordinary person, obviously, but it doesn't mean that we can't all follow in the footsteps. It doesn't mean that we have to imitate. Obviously, who's going to only live on 2 hours of sleep? We can't even struggle with 6 hours, practically. You know, so who can sleep only 2 hours a day and then just eat, like, you know, a few chapatis and some yogurt, buttermilk or something? It's impossible, literally. But we should at least follow and try to decrease as much as possible all these activities of the bodily platform of life and the inspiration are individuals like Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur and our Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. They exhibited this nature of thinking of the other living entities. Then one becomes very dear to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his Sankirtan movement. Okay, so we'll read a few things here. Kind of bear with me. I'll try to... We have a pretty good amount of information, but I'm skipping around, so just trying to get like nice things, like nice nectar. All right, so Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur is a prominent preceptor or acharya in our succession of spiritual masters and disciples coming from Lord Krishna. He was a pioneering spiritual leader, a householder, a magistrate working in colonial India under the British rule, a prolific preacher, writer, poet. He wrote volumes of books reintroducing the pure teachings of Lord Chaitanya at a time when those teachings had practically become lost. He composed hundreds of devotional songs glorifying Krishna to uplift the consciousness of the suffering people of this world. He corresponded with philosophers, theologians, leaders, scholars, and professors of his time and sent books, including The Life and Precepts of Lord Chaitanya, to university libraries in foreign countries, planting the seeds for a worldwide movement of Krishna consciousness. Bhaktivinoda Thakur discovered and excavated the birthplace of Lord Chaitanya along with his devoted wife, Bhagavati Devi. He raised 10 children, including the illustrious Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, who would become a great spiritual leader in his own time and a spiritual master of ISKCON's founder Acharya, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Above all, Bhaktivinoda Thakur taught devotion to Krishna by his personal example. His life story, excerpted below, demonstrates a tremendous amount of courage, character, and perseverance in the face of many difficulties and gives hope to those of us who may be wondering just how to find time to serve Lord Krishna, His holy names, and His devotees in our ever-so-busy lives. In many ways, aspiring devotees of Krishna today owe a significant debt to Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur for charting the course and laying the foundation for the modern-day Krishna consciousness movement. Once, as he looked out from his window across the river towards the birthplace of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Bhaktivinoda Thakur had a vision that people from all nations would soon come together there in harmony through the blissful chanting of the Hare Krishna of the holy names of Hare Krishna Sankirtan. His great grand disciple Srila Prabhupada, who humbly and fearlessly spread Krishna consciousness to the far corners of the world, thought it significant that he was born in 1896, the year that Thakur sent copies of The Life and Precepts of Lord Chaitanya to universities across the oceans. So it's just like an opening. So we'll read a little something here about the chronology of the life of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. So here we're reading, it says that in 15 AD, the avatar of Krishna, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, inaugurated the Hare Krishna movement in Bengal, India. The movement, based on ancient Sanskrit texts of devotion to Krishna, like the Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, spread all over India within a short time. It popularized Sankirtan, the congregational chanting of the Maha Mantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, as the practical means of God realization and a panacea for the miseries of this age of materialism. In 1750, two centuries later, the influence of the Hare Krishna movement had waned. Sects of pseudo-devotees such as the Sahajiyas and similar groups had become prominent, professing love of Godhead but acting in base, immoral ways. These groups brought disrespect upon the pure movement taught by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. In 1838, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, who was named Kedarnath by his parents, was born in opulent circumstances in Birongara in the district of Nadia, West Bengal. He was the seventh son of Raj Krishnananda Dutt, a great devotee of Lord Nityananda. He would be known as Daitya Kulera Prahlad, quote, Prahlad in the family of non-devotees. Because Vaishnavism, the worship of Vishnu or Krishna, was not very much respected in his family. In fact, in his family, they worshipped Durgadevi very prominently. His childhood was spent at the mansion of his maternal grandfather in Birongara. His environment at that time was very opulent. He got his elementary education at the primary school started by his grandmother. Later, he attended an English school in Krishnanagar, started by the king of Nadia. He left that school when his older brother died of cholera. In 1849, when he was 11 years old, his father passed away. Subsequently, the grant of land that had been conferred upon his grandmother changed owners, and the family fell to poverty. In 1850, when he was just 12, his mother arranged his future marriage to the 5-year-old daughter of Madhusudana Mitra Mahasaya, a resident of Ranagat. So at 12, he was betrothed to a 5-year-old girl. All right, in 1856, at the age of 18, Bhaktivinoda Thakur entered college in Calcutta. He started writing extensively in English and Bengali. He studied English literature and taught speech making to a person who later became a well-known orator in the British Parliament. Between the years of 1857 and 58, he composed a 2-part English epic entitled the Poriade, which he planned to complete in 12 books. These 2 books describe the life of Porus, who met Alexander the Great. So he's very prolific. At 12 years old, at 18 years old, he started writing already. He was very taken by Christian theology, regarding it more interesting and less offensive than Hindu monism, the Advaita Vedanta of Shankaracharya. He would spend hours comparing writings of Channing, Parker, Emerson, and Newman. At the British Indian Society, he gave a lecture on the evolution of matter through the material mode of goodness. Dvijendranath Tagore was Bhaktivinoda Thakur's best friend during these scholarly years. He assisted Bhaktivinoda Thakur in his studies of Western religion literature. So this is what Bhaktivinoda Thakur was doing. And it's very important, because later on we'll read why that was so important. In 1588, Bhaktivinoda Thakur returned to Biranagar and found his native village ruined and deserted. A cholera epidemic had killed the inhabitants, including most of his relatives. So from there, he took his grandmother and he traveled to monasteries and temples in Orissa. All right. During his post as a headmaster of the Medinipur High School, Bhaktivinoda Thakur looked into the various religious sects, their philosophies and practices. He could see that people in general were taking religion cheaply. He came to understand the unique importance of the Sankirtan movement, spreading love of God through chanting of his names, that had been established in Bengal by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Unfortunately, at that time, his movement was not well represented. Bhaktivinoda Thakur made an onslaught against those who were polluting Lord Chaitanya's teachings and who had, mostly because of their boldness, been seen by the public as representing the Gaudiya Vaishnava lineage. Bhaktivinoda Thakur accepted the post of a deputy magistrate in government of Bengal. Later, after seeing the corruption of the government workers, he became a collectorate officer. He established an organization called the Bhatri Samaj, wrote an English book called Our Wants, constructed a home in Ranagat, and composed two novel poems in Bengal. In 1866, Bhaktivinoda Thakur took the position of deputy register with the power of a deputy collector and deputy magistrate in the district of Chapara. He became fluent in Persian and Urdu. He successfully settled disputes between farmers and helped secure public aid to build a school for teachings, Jnana Shastra, sacred texts that ascertain knowledge and truth through logic and argument. He was transferred to Purnia, where he took charge of the government and judicial departments. So in 1856, he became a deputy magistrate. It's the highest position that an Indian was allowed to take during the British rule. At that time, he was finally able to procure rare copies of the sacred text Srimad Bhagavatam describing the pastimes of Krishna and his associates, and Chaitanya Charitamrita, the biography of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He read Chaitanya Charitamrita repeatedly. His faith increased until he was absorbed in the sacred text all day and night. He began incessantly submitting heartfelt prayers for the Lord's mercy. He came to understand the supreme majesty and power of the Absolute Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, and his incarnation in this age. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he published a song about Lord Chaitanya entitled Satchidananda Premalankara. In 1873, near the capital of Orissa, in the town of Karmanala, there lived a mystic named Bhishashikeshan, who would lean into the fire, then return into an erect sitting posture. In this way, he'd rock back and forth over the flames. By his acquired mystic powers, he could also produce fire from his head. He had two companions going by the names of Brahma and Shiva. He claimed to be Mahavishnu. Together, they were the divine trinity, the creator, maintainer, and destroyer of the universe, described in the sacred scriptures. Some of the lesser kings of Orissa came under his sway and were providing funds for the construction of a temple. They also sent him women. Bhishashikeshana declared he'd drive off the British from ruling Orissa and would himself become king. He published such statements, which were circulated all around Orissa. The British sought him a revolutionary for speaking out against the British rule, so the district governor of Bengal drew up arrest orders. However, nobody dared to act upon these orders, fearing Bhishashikeshana's mystic powers. The district commissioner of Orissa requested Bhaktivinoda Thakur to bring Bhishashikeshana to justice. Bhaktivinoda Thakur went personally to Bhishashikeshana. The yogi showed some powers that would normally scare off an ordinary man and informed Bhaktivinoda Thakur that he knew well who he was, but that since he was the Lord, Bhaktivinoda Thakur better not interfere with him. That was enough for Bhaktivinoda Thakur, who replied by acknowledging Bhishashikeshana's accomplishments in yoga and tantra and requesting him to come to Puri, where he could receive the blessings of Jagannath, the famous deity of Krishna there. Bhishashikeshana replied, "Why should I come to see Jagannath? He's only a hunk of wood. I am the supreme person. Gorkishodas Babaji became furious. He arrested the rogue, brought him to Puri, and threw him in jail, where he was guarded by 36 constables and 72 policemen. The fearless Bhaktivinoda Thakur tried Bhishakishena in Puri. The trial lasted 18 days, during which thousands of people whom he had control over gathered outside the courtroom, demanding he be released. On day 6 of the trial, Bhaktivinoda Thakur's daughter, Kadambini, became seriously ill and nearly died. Bhaktivinoda Thakur knew it was the power of the tantric yogic at work. He remarked, "Yes, let us all die, but this rascal must be punished." The next day in court, the yogi announced he'd shown his power and would show more. He suggested that Bhaktivinoda Thakur should release him at once or face worse miseries. On the last day of the trial, Bhaktivinoda Thakur himself became ill from high fever and suffered exactly as his daughter had. But the determined Bhaktivinoda Thakur pronounced the man guilty and sentenced him to 18 months for political conspiracy. When Bhishakishena was being readied for jail, the district medical officer cut off his hair. Apparently, the yogi drew power from his long hair. He hadn't eaten or drunk during the whole trial, so he fell to the floor like a dead man and had to be taken to jail by stretcher. After 3 months, he was moved to the central jail where he took poison and died. In Puri, Bhaktivinoda Thakur studied Srimad Bhagavatam with the commentary of Sridhar Swami. He also copied out in longhand the Satsandarbha of Jiva Goswami and made a special study of Rupa Goswami's Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. From 1874 to 93, during these years, Bhaktivinoda Thakur spent much time in seclusion chanting the holy names. Though he still executed his worldly duties, he wrote several books in Sanskrit, including Sri Krishna Samhita, Tattva Sutram, and Tattva Viveka. He wrote many books in Bengali. In 1874, he composed Datta Kostubha in Sanskrit. While in Puri, he established a Vaishnav discussion society known as the Bhagavat Samsat in the Jagannath Vallabha Gardens, where the Saint Sri Ramananda Roy had held his worship. All the prominent Vaishnavas at the time joined this group, except for one, Raghunath Das Babaji. He thought that Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur was unauthorized, as he did not wear the customary religious symbols of neck beads or clay markings, tilak, on his head. Moreover, the Babaji advised other Vaishnavas to avoid Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur's association. Soon thereafter, Raghunath Das Babaji contracted a deadly illness. In a dream, Lord Jagannath appeared to him and told him to pray for the mercy of Bhaktivinoda Thakur if he had at all wanted release from the illness and death. He did so. Bhaktivinoda Thakur gave him special medicine and cured him. At that time, Raghunath Das Babaji gained awareness of Bhaktivinoda Thakur's exalted position. Another incident. Charan Das Babaji preached and printed books advising that one should chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra in personal meditation, japa, but Nitai Gaur Radhe Sham Hare Krishna Hare Ram in public kirtan. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur preached long and hard to him, trying to convince him to stop spreading this unauthorized mantra. Eventually, Charan Das Babaji came to his senses and begged forgiveness from Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, admitting his fault. 6 months later, Charan Das Babaji went mad and died in great distress. All right. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur became the manager of the Jagannath Puri temple complex. He used his government powers to establish regularity in the worship of the deity. In the temple courtyard, he established a bhakti mandapa, where daily discourses of Bhagavatam were held. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur would spend long hours discussing Krishna and chanting the holy names, especially at Tota Gopinath Mandir, the tomb of the great Saint Haridas Thakur. the sacred Siddha Bakul tree, and the Gambira temple. He made notes on the Vedanta Sutras, and those notes were used by Sri Shyamalata Goswami when he published Baladev Vijayabhushana's Govinda Bhashya, Commentary on the Vedanta Sutra. Also there at that time, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur took birth. And when he was named Bimala Prasad. When he was 6 months old, Lord Jagannath's cart stopped in front of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur's house in Puri for 3 days during the procession. Bhaktivinoda asked his wife, Bhagavati Devi, to bring the child to view and receive the blessings of Lord Jagannath. As she placed the child before the Lord, a garland from the Lord fell and encircled the boy's body, and the first grain ceremony was performed at that time with sacred food from Lord Jagannath. Bimala Prasad stayed in Puri for 10 months after his birth and then moved to Bengal, where his infancy was spent at Ranagat, hearing topics of Sri Krishna from his mother. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur and his wife, Bhagavati Devi, were orthodox and virtuous. They never allowed their children to eat anything other than prasad, sacred food prepared for and offered to the Lord, nor to associate with bad company. One day, when Bimala Prasad was still a small child of no more than 4 years, his father mildly rebuked him for eating a mango not yet duly offered to Lord Krishna. Bimala Prasad, although only a child, considered himself an offender to the Lord and vowed never to eat mangoes again. This was a vow that he would follow throughout his life. By the time Bimala Prasad was 7 years old, he memorized the entire Bhagavad Gita and could even explain the verses, giving wonderful purports. His father then began training him to improve reading and printing in conjunction with the publishing of the Vaishnava magazine Sajjana Toshini. At that time, Bhaktivinoda Thakur discovered that the king of Puri had misappropriated 80,000 rupees. The money belonged to the temple, so Bhaktivinoda Thakur forced the king to offer Lord Jagannath meals 52 times daily in retribution. This diminished the money quickly. The king was furious and began, with the help of 50 pundits, a 30-day tantric ritual sacrifice meant for killing Bhaktivinoda Thakur. When the last oblations were poured into the sacrificial fire, it was the king's son who died, not the pure-hearted Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. So, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur took formal diksha from Vipin Bihari. I think it's Vipin, yeah, Vipin Bihari Goswami. He descended from the Janava family of Bhagnapur. Around this time, his seventh son, Lalita Prasad, was born. Once, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur and his son Bimala Prasad went to see Bhaktivinoda's guru, Vipin Bihari Goswami. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur's dealings with his diksha guru were always exemplary. Bhaktivinoda always played the humble disciple. Once in the presence of young Bimala Prasad, Bhaktivinoda Thakur bowed down and paid his respectful obeisances to his guru. Vipin Bihari Goswami replied by placing his feet on the Thakur's head. For the young, fiery Bimala Prasad, this was too much. It was one thing that his father had accepted him as his formal initiating spiritual master, but this was going too far. Bimala Prasad was only 7 years old at the time, but when Bhaktivinoda Thakur left the room, leaving the two of them alone, Bimala Prasad decided to set things straight. Quote, "You are acting like a big, big guru, and you place your feet on the heads of those you don't know. If you knew who the Thakur is, you would not do it. But you do not know my father is a great exalted Nitya Siddha, eternal associate of Sri Radha and Krishna, who has come here to fulfill their mission. Do you think that you are so advanced that you can place your feet on the head of such a person? I think not. You have proven yourself to be a Kanishta Adhikari by not being able to distinguish between those who are advanced and those who are less advanced. Therefore, I suggest that you desist from this practice any further. He said this at 7 years old. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur then re-entered the room, and the conversation changed later that day. Vipin Bihari Goswami mentioned to Bhaktivinoda, quote, "Your son is bold to the point of being rude." Later, Thakur Bhaktivinoda found out about the conversation and used to jokingly glorify his exalted son in front of his friends, saying, "He is so fearless that he has even chastised my guru, Vipin Bihari Goswami." We'll just read a couple more things. So in 1890, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he established the Namhat, the marketplace of the holy name. Sometimes Jagannath Das Babaji would visit in Kirtan, chanting devotional songs glorifying Krishna. Several hundred years earlier, Lord Nityananda, the eternal brother of Lord Chaitanya, had established the Namhata in the same place. Bhaktivinoda Thakur considered himself the street sweeper of the Namhat of Lord Nityananda. While he was stationed in Krishnanagar, every spare moment was spent in Mayapur, the holy land of the birthplace of Lord Chaitanya, where the birthplace was uncovered. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur and Srila Jagannath Das Babaji would worship Lord Chaitanya there. All right. While he was staying in Krishnanagar, Bhaktivinoda Thakur used to go to Navadvip and search for the birth site of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. One night he was sitting on the roof of the Rani Dharmashala in Navadvip, chanting on his prayer beads, when he spotted a tall tree next to a building. I think it's spelled T-A-L, a special kind of tree, tall tree or something, next to a building that gave off a remarkable effulgence. He went to the Krishnanagar library, where he began to study old manuscripts of Chaitanya Bhagavat and Navadvip Dham Parikrama and some old maps of Nadia. He went to the village of Baladibi and spoke with the elderly people, uncovering facts about modern-day Navadvip. Eventually, he discovered that the place he'd seen from the Dharmashala rooftop was in fact the birthplace of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That was confirmed by Srila Jagannath Das Babaji, the head of the Gaudiya Vaishnav community in Nadia. A great festival was held there in glorification of this sacred place. Srila Bhaktivinoda published the Navadvip Dham Mahatmya. In 1894, he gave a lecture on his investigation into the whereabouts of the birth sites of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. His audience included highly learned men from all over Bengal, who became very enthusiastic in the news. Out of this gathering was formed the Sri Navadvip Dham Pacharini Sabha, an organization for spreading the glories of Navadvip Mayapur. All the learned pundits, having deliberated fully on Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur's evidence, agreed that the Yogapit was the true birthplace of Mahaprabhu. And then it goes on to say that at one particular point, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he published a small booklet written in Sanskrit. It was called Sri Gauranga Lila Samara Mangala Stotram, and it had a commentary by Sitikanta Vikaspati of Nadia, a great scholar. They sent it overseas, and this book found its place in a library in the Royal Asiatic Society in London, the library of McGill University in Canada, and other respectable institutions. And it was reviewed by a lot of European scholars. It was the life of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Okay. In the year 1908, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur took the external dress of a Babaji, signifying one who devotes the remainder of his life to solitary devotional practices, especially chanting the holy names. For the first 2 years, he would travel between Calcutta and Puri and was still writing books. In 1910, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur shut himself away from the world and entered samadhi, claiming paralysis. He devoted the remainder of his years to solitary bhajan, meditation, prayer, and chanting Lord Krishna's holy names. In 1914, on June 23rd, just before noon, at Jagannath Puri, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur Prabhupada left his body. On the Gaudiya Pankija calendar, this day was also the disappearance day of Sri Gadadhar Pandit. His bodily remains were taken from Orissa back to his beloved Godrum in the land of Nadia, the land of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his eternal pastimes. This was amidst Sankirtan congregational chanting of the Lord's holy names, and he remained there in Godrum. In remembering Bhaktivinoda Thakur, in an obituary about Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Sarada Charna Mitra, Calcutta High Court judge, wrote, "I knew Thakur Bhaktivinoda intimately as a friend and a relation, even under the pressure of official work as a magistrate in charge of a heavy subdivision. He could always find time for devotional contemplation and work. And whenever I met him, our talk would turn in a few moments to the subject of bhakti and achintya beda tattva, and the saintly work that lay before him. Service of God is the only thing he longed for, and service under the government, however honorable, was to him a clog." And then Bhaktivinoda Thakur's son, Lita Prasad, recalled things about his father, such as, from 7:30 to 8 p.m. he would take rest. At 10 p.m. he would rise, he'd light an oil lamp and write. At 4 a.m. he would take a little rest. At 4:30 he would rise, wash hands and face, chant Hare Krishna Maha Mantra and Japa beads. At 7 o'clock he would write letters. At 7:30 he would read. 8:30 a.m. receive guests or continue to read. From 9:30 to 9:45, he would take rest. 9:45, morning bath, breakfast of half-quart milk, couple of chapatis, some fruit. 9:55, go to court in carriage. He would wear coat and pants to court with double-sized Tulsi neck beads and Vaishnava tilak. He was very strong in his decisions. He would decide immediately. He did not allow any humbug in his court. No upstart could stand before him. He would shave his head monthly. He never allowed harmonium in his sankirtan, consider it a distraction from the sound of the holy name. He never had any debts. At 10, court would begin. At 1 p.m., court finished. He'd come home, bathe, and refresh. 2 p.m., he'd return to the office. 5 p.m., translate works from Sanskrit to Bengali. Then take evening bath, a meal of rice, a couple of chapatis, half quart of milk. He always consulted a pocket watch and was always accountable, keeping time very punctually. He was always charitable to brahmanas and equally befriended other castes. He never showed pride, and his amiable disposition was a characteristic feature of his life. He never accepted gifts from anyone. He even declined all honors and titles offered by the government to him on the grounds that they might stand against his holy mission of life. He was very strict in moral principles and avoided the luxurious life. He would not even chew betel. He disliked theaters because they were frequented by public women. He spoke Bengali, Sanskrit, English, Latin, Urdu, Persian, and Oriya. He started writing books at age 12 and continued turning out a profuse number of volumes up until his departure from this world. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur Maharaj Ki Jai. Anyone like to add anything? Something? He's a prominent person in that area, yeah. Yeah. It's true. Anything else from anybody? Oh, Jai. Thank you for letting us know. Anything else? Yes. Maybe we should have a microphone, huh? Can we just bring the microphone?
I thought it was very interesting in the biography of Bhaktisiddhanta that as a parent, he never allowed, I guess he had 13 children or something, didn't allow any prajalpa.
Yeah. No bad association.
Well, okay, but I mean, having grandchildren and, you know, nothing but Krishna Katha is not an easy thing. Just thought it was interesting.
It was amazing that he had 10 children and they were all like pure devotees of Krishna. He was very strict in that way. Mm. And of course, you know, we know Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj came from that lineage. Anything else?
Did he initiate disciples?
Bhaktivinoda Thakur? No, not that I know of. Never initiated, right? I don't think he took that position of initiating guru. He was definitely a shiksha guru. He taught many, many people about Krishna consciousness in his writings and personal behavior. Okay? Jai. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur Maharaj ki jai.
It's too hard for me. I'm not sure about it.